We are in our series called The Gospel, looking at the entirety of the life of Christ, his life, his teachings, his death, his resurrection, as one message called The Gospel. This week, let's take a look at our passage from Luke chapter 12. On the back, on the tables as well, there's bulletins. You can grab one, pass them around if someone needs one. There's some notes on the back as well as the verses that we'll be studying this morning. Go ahead and pass those around. Luke chapter 12, verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, that's an important part, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food and body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they don't sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them, and how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like not like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. Wait, am I here? Okay. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in a heaven that will never fail, where no thief can come in and no moth destroy. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay. Good, long passage this morning. Quick question. Anybody here, I'm curious if I'm the only one, does anybody here ever worry about money? To be honest, some of us. Let's see, quick show of hands. Any of you, it's like, once in a while I worry about money. Okay. Anybody here, it's like, I worry about money all the time. Like, it's kind of like a pretty, every time I open my phone, I check my bank app, and I'm like, where am I at, right? Okay, all right. I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one. This is like such a down-to-earth teaching this morning. First, I was thinking this is about money, then I was thinking about worry, and then I was like, this is about worry about money. This is exactly what this is really all about. And that as something as humans, man, we all tend to be concerned or anxious or worry about our money, about making ends meet, about our future, about our needs. I think anybody in here, if you were to sit down for like an hour with the right financial planner, you'd be shaking in your boots right now, right? You just go, I am not prepared, right? I'm not saying it's the right financial planner in the good way, but you know what I mean? Any of us, you've given enough information and enough context, oh my gosh, we would be so scared. What am I doing? It's a natural fear because it is always unknown, right? We're talking about the future. We're talking about what if, what could happen. I mean, worry is so different than fear. Fear is what you know you're afraid of, right? Fear of spiders, fear of heights, fear of a Kardashian. You know, there's lots of things to be fearful of, but worry is a totally different thing. It's a totally different thing. I'm not afraid. It's like, I don't know. It's the sense of, it could be anything. I don't know what, I don't know how to be afraid of it because I don't even know what's going to happen, right? I remember I was a freshman in high school, and it was like, I was probably in the fall. It was early on in the school year, and we were having a class trip to the zoo. The whole freshman class was going to the zoo. Cool, right? Not at all. Not cool at all. I was an adult now. That's what I was thinking as a 14-year-old. I'm an adult. I'm not going to the zoo with these stupid kids. Like, this is dumb. I was totally above it. So I had this plan because I found out you could not go to the zoo. But then I heard if you don't go, they make you sit in the science room and do work and other stuff. I probably watched Free Willy or something like kid-like, right? I wanted something cool. I'm an adult now. I had a friend with a car, so I had a plan. Here's what I'll do. I'll sign up to go to the zoo, and I'll have my parents fill out the thing, but then I just won't go. Free day for Rye Guy, right? That's what I was thinking. It was awesome. It was brilliant. So that morning, I remember I turned in the slip, and then I just slipped. I don't know what I did. I think I hung out in the middle room. I don't know. Anyway, this area in the school, I think I went out with my friend in his car. But anyway, it was a fun little Ferris Bueller day off for this guy. Then I get home after school. you know, everything was fine, I thought. And my mom, I remember my mom asks me, hey, how was the zoo? With like a little too much curiosity, you know what I mean? And I was like, she was great, you know, it was great. And then she asked a follow-up. Right there, I should have known. She's like, what was your favorite part? That's not a question. You don't ask a teenage boy that question about the zoo. And I was like, I looked her in the eye, and I was like, the gorillas. I don't know. I was like, say something. And then she said was, your school called. You didn't go. Wait till your father gets home. Right? That I don't know if you had that household. Maybe you had a totally, maybe for you it was your grandma said, wait till your mom gets home. Maybe for you it was wait till anything, right? I don't know, but for me it was wait till your dad gets home, and that was it. I would have preferred anything, a complete flogging right then. Beat me, mother, beat me now. Don't just say, wait. Wow, that's the worst. It's that fear, that worry, that anxiety. It's not, I'm not worried. I'm not afraid of something. I'm just worried about anything. And that fear, that anxiety, that feeling absolutely can control you. It's the feeling, it's the thing that keeps us up at night, right? There's the sound that we hear in the kitchen, but then you go and you check. All right, nothing here. That's not what keeps us up. What keeps us up is, where's my kid going to go to school? How am I going to pay that bill? What happens if I lose my job? Oh, no, what's going to happen? Oh, does she know that? Like, why didn't they call me back? I mean, those are the things that keep us up. It's not the fears. It's the worries that can absolutely, like, hold us and, like, paralyze us. And Jesus comes in as such a good, beautiful counselor, and he does more than just say, stop it. Which is my antidote usually, and it doesn't work. When someone's in the grips of anxiety and worry, I'm not usually a worrier as in general, but I know, when someone is very anxious, very worried, very concerned, telling them just stop and don't be doesn't help anything, right? I've tried this with my wife many times, and it just doesn't work. I don't know why. I've tried everything, I thought. So Jesus comes in and he does more than that. He gives us more than just don't be, which is fine. That would be a fine teaching. Don't be worried. He actually gives us some things to do about this. So if you've been coming for the last couple weeks, you know we've been talking about money actually for a couple weeks now. In Luke, Jesus goes for a while. He's talking about our money and our possessions. Right before this, we actually skipped a quick section because it was redundant on money again. But right before this, a rich young ruler comes to Jesus, a rich man comes to Jesus, and asks him a question, and Jesus responds to him with the parable of the rich fool. In other words, he responds to a man of means with a story about a man of means. But now, it says at the beginning, he says he turns to his disciples. Now that's important because his disciples were not people with money. These were real working class folks, or even really poor folks. These are people who were not wealthy, who did not have it all. And these are the people who are worried not about their possessions, about keeping, about getting, about having. They're worried about making ends meet. These are people worrying about meeting their basic needs in life. And this is the reality. What Jesus wants to say to us this morning is that it's either through the presence or the absence of money that it can distort our life. It's whether, I don't know about you, my one thing I had going for me is I'm not a rich guy. So I thought, hey, maybe I don't have to worry about the corruptive power of money in my life. No. It doesn't work that way. Whether you have it or you don't have it, its corruptive influence is still there. This is what Jesus is saying. We are not free from the distortive power of money just because we don't have any. Bummer. That was the only way out for me, I thought. Money has this ability to blind us, to control, to corrupt, whether we have it or not, or if we're somewhere in the middle. And we know this. We absolutely know this. This is the power of money. We absolutely know. None of us would be the same, and almost all of us would not be better if we won the lottery today. It would not be good for our souls, almost universally, I would say. We kind of know this. I think we really, I mean, we want to, like, give me a chance, right? That's our first thought. Yeah, it's not good for me, but let me try. This is something we absolutely know. Money has this crazy manipulative power over us, whether we have it or not. And we know this, we absolutely know this. And when Jesus turns to his disciples and starts to say this, he's saying it doesn't matter whether you're fretting over getting that new car or more stuff or a better house, or if you're just fretting about making ends meet, paying the bills. Jesus says that money can distort, corrupt, and destroy. And so the question for us this morning is this the natural tendency of your heart? As I asked earlier, is this where you normally go? Is this where you normally start to fret and start to worry? Is this something that happens? I mean, we all worry about money at times. Crisis, things happen. But is this your natural tendency to worry and to fret and to be concerned about money? Is it a pattern in your life? In Jesus' words, do you run after these things? And again, not just stuff and possessions. This is like food to eat and clothes so you're not naked. But are you still consumed in a way that you're running after these things? This is overworked, this is absorbed, worried, always taking your financial temperature. Is that something that you struggle with? Jesus says, if you are, if this is you, he says that it has your heart. He says that it's got your heart already. Last week in the passage, Jesus reminded us that life is not about possessions. And today he says life's not about eating and drinking. Even the necessities, that's not what it's about. Even if you're just trying to make ends meet, we're not talking about possessions. We're not talking about mansions. Jesus says even if you're worrying over the necessities of life, this is something that can absolutely control and blind us. And there's this like really beautiful pattern in this passage that I saw as I was studying it this week. Jesus brings up birds twice. First, he says, in fear of persecution and protection, he says, the little birds that fall to the ground, he says, the Father sees them and knows, and therefore don't be worried. You're so much more valuable than the birds, Jesus says. And then he talks about money and worry, and he says, these little birds don't worry and they don't fret, and yet God feeds them. One commentator I read said this, that Jesus is showing us through this comparison, he's saying one thing that can destroy your faith, destroy your life, destroy your whole being from the inside out is like a totalitarian dictator taking you and throwing you in the dungeon, right? That's something that can absolutely destroy you. But he also compares that same thing, every bit as powerful of a destroying force in your life is worrying about money. He's like, you can be destroyed by a dictator throwing you in prison forever or by worrying about money. That's the comparison Jesus is making in this passage. This is crazy, right? So that's where Jesus starts, that we're all in this boat, right? That we can, we're all here, whether we're rich or not, whether we're worrying about having a ton or worry about not having enough at all, we're all there. And verse 30 tells us why. Jesus says this in verse 30, for pagans run after these things, but you have a Father. That's Jesus' words. But you have a Father. Okay, so first, Jesus says pagans, and that sounds kind of offensive to us. Like, how dare he call them that? That was an actual religion, or like a different type of people that believed in gods. And pagans had, lots of different gods. They had, most of them did. They had creator gods, kings, princes. They had all-powerful forces. They had all these gods. But Jesus says the reason you're worrying about money is that you're acting like you don't have a Father. You're acting like you don't have a Father. And that illustration, that example, that like way that God talks about himself that way is super important for us this morning. You're forgetting that he is a Father, our God is a Father, and therefore Jesus is saying, you're looking to money to give you what only a father, what only a mother, what only a parent, someone who loves you like a parent could give you. Look quickly at the two illustrations that Jesus uses here. First is birds and then flowers. First, birds. He says, look at the birds. You worry, and yet you are so much more valuable than they. And then he says, look at the flowers. They come and go really quick. They live and they die in just a flash, and yet God dresses them. And Jesus says, we worry over our money first to give us value. to give us value, to show us and to make us feel valuable. If you're doing well financially, like if you just got, you know, got a raise this week, and then you got like a new place, and like you got a good, you know, maybe an inheritance, I don't know. If you're just like ticking the boxes financially and you're just like succeeding, you can feel pretty good about yourself. You start to feel pretty valuable, pretty important in this world. I got an invitation to this banquet. I don't know. I don't know what happens when you're successful. What do you do? Is that what you get? You can start to feel like, yeah, I am pretty valuable. I am pretty cool. I'm fairly important, right? I'm doing well, right? I've kind of achieved these things. And at the same time, if we're not doing well financially, if we don't have things figured out, if all of a sudden the bills start to pile up and all of a sudden the pressure starts to come on and our bank account doesn't look okay, all of a sudden we start to feel like we're not making it. We're not doing good. I'm not succeeding in life. Something's wrong. I'm obviously not valuable enough. But you see, it's the same exact sin. It's the same exact sin. And we know this, right? We absolutely know this. Some of us are some of the like greatest, most noble, wonderful, important people who ever lived were absolutely terrible with money. Think about the most noble, kind, most beautiful, influential people who ever lived. Many of them were terrible with money. And the most corrupt, evil, manipulative, dirty, just terrible people who ever lived were geniuses with money. Absolutely geniuses with it. This what is this saying about this life? Jesus says life is not about food or drink. He's saying life is about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, humility, self-control. And those things have nothing to do with money. They have not, that real life has nothing to do with it. Those things may lead you into money. Sure, if you have good self-control and kindness and goodness, that might lead you into money. Just as easily, it might lead you away from money, okay? Those values or those virtues are not the kind of virtues that most of the billionaires in the world have in spades. It's usually, those things don't necessarily lead us to wealth, and they also don't necessarily lead us to poverty. But Jesus is saying this is what life is about. And it's so easy for us to get distracted with the stuff and the success in this life. But Jesus reminds us this morning that we are valuable in spite of, or maybe despite, our money. We are valuable in regardless of any of that. That is not where our value comes from. And so to try and make us feel good and valuable because we have or we are successful, that's the absolute opposite. We have to move away from understanding our value is from our money, our possessions, or our success. Our value comes from God himself, our Father, that we are children of God. Second thing is security. We go to money for security. Ernest Becker, who is like a brilliant Pulitzer Prize-winning author in his book, The Denial of Death, said this. He says, the reason people are stingy, the reason we have so much trouble giving away money, why we need it so much, is that we don't want to admit that we're dying. That's so true, you guys. We don't want to admit that this is all temporal and that at any moment it could be whisked away. Any second. We don't know. Wait. Okay, the earthquake didn't happen. We did it. We made it. But we had no clue. It could have happened right then. It could have, right? This is what I'm saying. Everything is I can't snap right. Temporal. It's so quick. We don't have any clue. We have no promises. And we don't want to admit how broken and turbulent the world is because it is absolutely scary. And money is a way of isolating ourselves, of protecting ourselves, controlling the environment. I'm safe. If I have some savings, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. I still have that 401k, right? What are we saying? What the world does that even mean? What are you talking about? This is what we do with our money. We use it to protect ourselves and isolate ourselves. We look to money for a sense of value, and then we look to money for a sense of safety. I am a dad. I don't know how that happened. That's how I feel all the time. I look around, I look at my house, and I'm like, where's the grown-up? This is BS. How is this happening? Is anybody else, any parents like with older kids still feel that way, right? It's this weird thing. You do one fun thing, and then you have a kid. I don't know what else to say. It doesn't come with a manual. It's just there, and you go, oh, no, I got to raise this thing. It's on me now. extremely scary. And Cynthia and I are always trying to figure out what's the way, how do you raise our, how do you do it? Sometimes people even ask me advice on, like, can I get advice on parenting? Like, I know anything about this. We don't know anything. We tried to find the manual. We've bought most of them, and they're all just all over the place. But regardless of your parenting style, regardless of your, there's a million questions and a million things we're doing wrong and a million things we're probably doing right, I hope. All those things, all the questions are all out there, but at the end of the day, I really believe we could fail at everything else. I could fail at everything, but at the end of the day, my children need two things. The first is they need to know deep down that they are valuable. Deeper than anything, they are loved. Not because of what they do or they don't do, not because of how nice or sweet or kind, that they know deep down in their being, they're just loved regardless. You can't even get away from the love of me and of our God. This is who they are. And then the second thing they need to know is that they're safe. They're safe in this house. This is not a scary place. They're not going to come home frightful, worried. They can come home and be safe and know that in my life and in my family, they're safe. They're valuable and they're safe. They are made in the image of God and they are protected here. Listen, money comes to us and it says, without the relationship, without the connection, I can get that for you. I can give you value, and I can give you safety. You don't need to be connected to anything else. Without any of that, I can give you meaning and value and protect you. When the prodigal son was done with the messiness of family life, right? When he leaves his father, what does he say? He says, I'm going to go out in the world. I'm going to do this on my own, but where am I going to get my sense of value? Where am I going to get my sense of safety? And he says, give me the money. Give me the money, and then I'll be good, Dad. I don't need you. I got the money. This is the promise of our money in this life, that it promises to take care of us, bring us worth, and bring us value outside of that connection. Now listen, some of us had terrible parents. Some of us did. We just did. And some of us, the thought of family love, of fatherly love, being our source of value and safety is so far from our reality, it's really hard to even understand or hear this. Because Jesus says this. Jesus does say we have in heaven a good father. Regardless of what our earthly fathers were like, regardless of what our earthly families are like, we have a spiritual father and a spiritual family that is good, and it may be so, so different from your own. And this God promises to be with us, to never leave us nor forsake us, but to draw near to us when we draw near to him. And listen, this is what we're built for. We're built for an unconditional love. An unconditional love, the one that does not disappoint like money or power or success. Those things like fall away, they rot, thieves come in and steal, but fatherly love, love from our God that doesn't go away, can't be shaken regardless of circumstances, regardless of how much you failed or succeeded, you're loved, you're valued. And it's for who you are, not what you do or what you produce. And money is the exact opposite. It is here right now if you're good with it, and if you're bad with it, it's gone. It's 100% conditional. It's the opposite. It's the opposite of God's love. Money can make us orphans. It seduces us to follow it, to leave our family, to leave our father, to try to find value and safety with it and on our own. So Jesus leaves us with, I think, two responses. Two things to glean from this and ways that we need to respond. First, we have to recognize, and we have to know this, it's going to be hard for some of us, you are not God. Ta-da! That's it. That's the first thing you need to know, because this is so rooted in worry, you guys. You're not God. It's really offensive, but I promise you, I've looked into it, I'm almost certain you're not. Worrying about money is always an aspiration to divine attributes. Worrying about money is always aspiration towards divine attributes. When we worry about money, we're trying to be God. And that's why we're worried. We're trying to be God-like. Jesus gives us two ways we do this. First, he says, if you're worried about money, you're trying like crazy to be omnipotent and omniscient. In verse 25, he says, don't you see all your worry doesn't do a thing? You can't add an hour to your life. Not a thing to your life could be added by worrying about it. This is what he's saying. He's saying you might lose your job. You could lose your job. There could be a fire. There could be all sorts of terrible things that happen and you feel like you're out of control. And Jesus is saying the only thing you're letting go of is the illusion that you were ever in control. That you were ever in any way in control of the circumstances in your life. It's not luck. It's not even hard work that's brought you to where you're at. We're just here. This is just the way it is. We weren't in control of it at all. Through all of your worry, you're trying to control the world. You're trying to get things to happen. And Jesus says, it's just never happened. You don't hold yourself up. You don't have that kind of power. Let it go. You're holding on to something that's a lie anyway. Let go of a lie. That's a good thing. Like, it makes so much sense. Money has blinded us to the fact that we have no power. And it blinds us to the reality that we are not God. Because if we knew that, if we really knew that, we would not be worried. We wouldn't be worried. If we really knew that we're not God, we wouldn't be worried. Worry is the lie that you have control over these things. And next, omniscience. So omnipotence, I'm in control. No. Omniscience, I know everything. Come on. Come on now, right? This is so crazy. Verse 30, everyone is running around over all these things, but Jesus says, your Father knows. You don't know. Your Father knows. Listen, if you're worried about money, but really about anything, if you're worried, if you're anxious, if you're concerned, if you're scared, if you're about all pretty much anything, the premise behind it is, I know. I know. I know how history needs to go. I know what needs to happen. God doesn't know, otherwise he'd do it. I know the way it's supposed to go, and this is why I'm so worried, because if it doesn't go this way, it won't be right. I absolutely know the way it's supposed to go. And the only reason we're worried about it is that we're absolutely convinced of that. Listen, there's no reason to believe that it should go that way, that you should get that job or go to that school or date that person. You don't know. We just don't know. God knows. We don't. And this is what worry does. It tells God, I got this, right? It's telling God, I got this, God. I'm going to be concerned about the things that I need to. You don't have to worry about it. I'll worry about it. You're saying, I know, and you don't. Have a seat. I'll take it from here. And it's a lie. We have no power. We have no control. And Jesus is inviting us this morning to simply let go again. Let go again. We work so hard to make the lie seem believable. That's what it seems like, right? But you look at like all the things I'm doing. Look at all the wise decisions I'm making to be in control of my life so I can find safety, so I know that I'm valuable, because I'm not failing. I'm paying my bills. I'm good. These are all the things that we long and strive for with this false promise. It's like holding on to a remote control, but there's no batteries in it. God's like, hold on to it if you want. Do it. Yeah, go for it. It doesn't work. There's something about this relinquishing and letting go. Jesus invites us to literally die to ourselves in that way. Because we don't know. We can't do this. We'll have the band come back up. And let me just pray for us this morning. Jesus, as we think about this idea of worry, of money, of all the things, I feel like I'm throwing it as a boomerang. Here's my worry, and then I pull it right back to myself. Help us to know how to really lay these things down. Help us to know what it really means to say, I'm not in control, and that's okay. Like, it's okay, because I never was, and I don't have to worry. And help us to know, really deep down, help us to really know that we have a God that is for us and not against us. And even if circumstances seem bad or seem this way or that or unappealing or outside of what we want and prefer in this life, we still know that you are a God that is good and in control, and we don't have the answers. We don't know. And so therefore, once again, we lay our life down for you, Jesus. We lay our worries down. You compel us, you ask us, you command us to cast our anxieties on you because you care so much about us. I pray that for every one of us in this room. Whatever things we're holding on to, help us to let go of them, to give them over to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. To you.